And welcome to the Dr. Navici segment of the Caribbean Radio Show. We are so excited to have you. We're glad you're here, and especially on this evening, the eve of Father's Day, we have an amazing show planned for you. I am Dr. Navici, and I can be accessed at drnavici.com. That's drnivischi.com. Or I can be emailed at drnavici@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. And without further ado, let's welcome our guests for today to our show. We'll go ahead and welcome our guests, and then we'll welcome our illustrious co-hosts. I'm sure you know who they are. You've been listening to us for many years, and they have been with us. So as we get ready to embark upon our Father's Day celebration, James, we'd like to open your call, open your line. Your line is now open. Say hi to our listening audience. James, your line is open.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to tonight's show. It's really going to be a special show.
Extremely special for you, James, of all people.
Yeah, it's really going to be a special show. So I'm looking forward, but glad to have you here tonight. Glad that you're with us and enjoy the show.
Awesome, awesome. We'd like to also open the line to Autumn, Miss Autumn Tomlin, our graduate, who is another of our special guests tonight. Autumn, your line is open. Say hi to our listening audience.
Hey, everybody.
Hey. We're so glad to hear. I look forward to hearing more from you. Your hey for the moment
thank
is sufficient.
You.
Wonderful. We'd also
right,
like to
open
to Inyanui. Inyanui, you know, is one of our illustrious co-hosts. Inyanui, please say hi to our listening audience. Your line is open.
Hello, everybody. I'm looking forward to tonight's show, and can't wait to hear what everyone has to say.
Awesome. Madhu. Madhu, I call him my partner from way back when. Madhu, you and I have been on this segment of the Caribbean Radio Show for years, probably from maybe our third or fourth streaming. So, Madhu, please say hi to our listening audience. Everyone knows who you are. Your line is open.
Uh-oh.
Well, maybe Madhu doesn't want to say hi at this point. So we have someone on hold. Caller with the area code 814. Caller with the area code 814. Your line is open. Feel free to say hello before we get on the way tonight. Okay. Well, tonight's show, we're looking at celebrating fathers. Honoring fathers and celebrating fatherhood. And we all know that in the USA, anyway, we celebrate Father's Day on Sunday, on tomorrow, Sunday, June 8th. And so today we are really excited. You know, we have our fatherhood segment every other week. And we hear some background. If you're talking in our background, please feel free to quiet your lines so our listening audience can hear us. But as we celebrate fatherhood, we're excited because, James, we typically do our fatherhood segment. And today's segment is even more special as we look at you and your fathering of Autumn for the past number of years. So before we get into our show, we're going to go ahead and read your intro, your bio, Autumn, so everyone can become familiar with who you are, and then we are going to open a line so you and James can have a little dialogue as we share information about who you are and how you got to where you are. So the bio that you sent us, Autumn, reads as follows. My name is Autumn Tomlin. I am a Chamblee Charter High School class of 2017 graduate. Woohoo! You had your graduation recently, didn't you, Autumn?
Yeah, back in May.
Yep, I saw your pictures. You look totally awesome. You continue to say that I will be attending. You're welcome. I'll be attending the illustrious Howard University in the fall, and that's coming up soon, although we just began summer. I'm sure you're excited to begin your college career. My interest
is
architecture, and we need more black female architects. So go ahead and get that degree, Autumn, so I can get my house designed by you. I transitioned to live with my father at age 9. With his assistance and support, I was able to maintain a 3.8 GPA. That is totally awesome. A part-time job, and to participate in various extracurricular activities. Living with my father differed from living with my mother. It was definitely a learning experience because the role each of my parents vastly played was drastic. However, I'm grateful that I was able to build a firm relationship with my dad over the years. Autumn, it's so exciting to have you on the show and to actually read of your bio. Let me just read that Father's Day is a celebration honoring fathers and celebrating fatherhood, paternal bonds, and the influence of fathers in our society. In Europe, it was celebrated for the first time as St. Joseph's Day since the Middle Ages. And the celebration was brought from Spanish and Portuguese to Latin America, where it was celebrated on March 19th. And it's still used in those countries on that day, though many countries in Europe and America have adopted U.S. Day, which we say, you know, is the third Sunday of March. And it's celebrated on various days in many parts of the world, most commonly in the months of March or May. So as we celebrate Father's Day tomorrow and commemorate that with you, James, and Autumn tonight, we're super excited to hear your story, to hear of a young girl who at age 9 transitioned from living with her dad, from living with her mom to living with her dad. And Autumn, you're 18 years of age now?
Yes.
So it's been 11 years since you have been with your father. Tell us about that. What has it been like living and being raised by your dad?
I wouldn't say it's been difficult. It's been pretty smooth. My dad's a cool dude. You know, he's very open and he likes to talk and discuss things a lot. So it wasn't so much adjusting to living with my dad. It was more so being separated from my siblings because I do have siblings. So it was more so going from a house full of people to, like, just me and him. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it wasn't difficult. It was just adjustment.
Okay. All right. So sounds like, James, you made it easy for your daughter to live with you. It wasn't living with you that was a challenge, because I definitely understand, Autumn, when you say he likes to discuss things. James and I have known each other for a number of years, and you are a discussing man, James. That's one of your wonderful attributes. So I definitely understand, Autumn. James, go back to that time when Autumn was 9 years old and you decided, you know what, she's going to be living with me. What was that like for you? What brought you to that decision, and what has it been like living with your daughter and being a single dad?
Well, to be honestly truthful with you, when Autumn was born, and I think shortly right after that, like a week or so, me and her mom sat down and had some discussion about her coming to live with me. Now, during the time that I was living in Erie, Autumn was always with me, you know, but she wasn't actually living with me. So I spent a great deal of time when she was just a baby and being around me. So when I made the transition and moved to Atlanta, I followed up with her mom and asked her, you know, about the commitment about having Autumn come and live with me in Atlanta. And she honored that commitment. So when Autumn got, you know, beyond the third grade, and I followed up and I asked her mom, can Autumn come stay with me in Georgia? Now, there was some reluctance because she loved her daughter. And she knew that there would be a distance. And she knew that the rest of her brothers and her siblings would miss her, you know, because they'd be grown to depend on her in so many different ways in terms of being a role model, and just being there. So there was that element that was a challenge for me because I knew I needed to be sensitive and responsible to that area of her life. And then when she got to Atlanta and my household, there was adjustment because I was used to living by myself for a period of time. You know, I was a single man, no children in my household, and I had to quickly say, okay, how do I adjust mentally, emotionally, and spiritually? Because now I got a little girl in my household. And I was used to coming and going as I pleased. My work schedule was, you know, not consistent. I had, you know, a flexible work schedule. So I had to make some adjustments. And then I had to make a bigger adjustment because one of the things that me and Autumn laugh about to this day is that when she got to my house, I asked her, I said, how does it feel to be here? And she said, I don't know yet. And when she said that, I was like, oh, my God. I just, you know, went all over the place in my head, you know. And she said, it's going, I need a minute or two. And that minute and two turned into not just a day or two. It turned into weeks. It turned into months. It turned into years where she had to figure out, you know, what's her niche here and what's her role here. So it was a little bit of a challenge.
So it sounds like there was an adjustment for both of you. Autumn, you were adjusting to from being a sibling and having your siblings around you in a sibling relationship to being an only child in a household with a man that, although you knew and spent time with him prior, you hadn't really established this type of relationship with him before. What was going through your head those first few hours, days, weeks as you were making that transition, Autumn?
Well, really, it was during the summer, so it was much more like we were exploring Georgia type deal. And then, you know, and I thought, at first I thought I was just, you know, coming to hang out with my dad, you know, see what he's doing or whatever. But it turned into, would you like to come stay with me? Like, he asked me myself, would I like to stay with him? And I said, sure, after, I think it was like the month, like by the end of summer vacation, I had decided that, you know, I was comfortable living with him or whatever. So I didn't really think much about it. You know, I just thought I was going to hang out with my dad for the summer. And for me, it ended up turning into I'm living with my dad now.
Wow. That's a huge shift. Hanging out to living full time. Because you had an established life in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Had you lived anywhere else prior to that?
No, other than my small city of Erie, nope. You know, it was all family there. So I had my cousins around the corner, my sisters and brothers, and friends down the street. So that was it. That's all I knew.
Okay. So would it be accurate to say that this transition was difficult because of the newness of it? Newness in terms of your life? Where you were living was new, your school was going to be new, living with your dad was new, not having your siblings was new, you had to make new friends. And so the newness of this experience made the transition something that was difficult.
Yeah, I can say that.
Okay. So then, James, knowing all this, and we're going to, before I ask you to answer the question, I see that we have a caller, area code 814. Your line is open. Would you like to say hello?
Hello. Can you hear me?
We hear you. Who do we have on the line?
Paris Baker.
Hi, Mr. Baker. Do you want to say hello to our show, to the audience?
Absolutely. Hello, James and Autumn.
Hey, Paris.
Obviously, you know James and Autumn, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes,
well, welcome.
Autumn leaves to me.
Well, we're glad you're here. Your line is open. Welcome. And if you'd like to make a comment, feel free to do so. James, we're talking about how you supported Autumn with her transition. So you know that all this stuff was new. Not only was it new for you as a single dad, but you're an adult, so we expect you to handle your business. here's a 9-year-old right. who's transitioning to all this newness. How did you support her in her transition? What was that like for you?
Well, one of the things I knew that at some point that she was going to come to Atlanta. So going to her living in Erie, I brought Autumn down quite frequently prior to her moving here to Atlanta. And like she said, we visited all parts of Atlanta. I mean, we went everywhere. And that was just to make sure that she would know that that she would be comfortable here, that she would appreciate some of the things. We visited so many different, you know, parts of Atlanta, parts of Georgia. We visited family. And then what we did, too, we made sure that we at least made 2 or 3 trips throughout the year to go back home so she can reconnect with her family physically. And then what I always kind of discussed with Autumn and shared with Autumn that it was important that she made contact with her mom and her siblings. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I would have her to call or have her to send something or have her to write or just do something to stay in touch with her. And then I would ask questions. You know, have you talked to your mom? Have you talked to your brothers and sisters? And how are they doing? And what are they doing in school? Sometimes the response was short, you know, 1 or 2 words. But long as she, you know, at least reached out, I knew that that would help the transition a little bit in terms of moving into my home.
Excellent, excellent. I'm going to open the opportunity for Inyanui or Madhu to ask a question of Autumn or James at this point. Inyanui, do you have a question for Autumn or James?
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely. Please do.
James, can you speak to some of the mechanic of co-parenting, particularly co-parenting from one state to another, as well as just having 2 different lifestyles and 2 different methods of discipline and all those kinds of things?
Oh, my God.
So before you do that, James, talk about how you did that. Because a lot of times when we have single parenthood, co-parenting does not exist. And I love that question. Thank you so much. How do you get to the place where you are co-parenting? What does that even look like? And then would you share about your specific mechanics?
How we got to that place or how I got to that place was Autumn was the priority. I was not the priority. And the conversation I had with her mom, that she wasn't the priority. The main priority was to ensure that Autumn was fine and that she would know that we was in partnership to raise her as our child. So we had those discussions over and over and over and over again. And then we implemented things. I would make sure to follow up whatever events, whatever rewards, whatever accomplishments, whatever issues. I would have many, many, many conversations via phone, via email, via text, via Facebook, via instant messaging, sometimes Skype, and having conversations about Autumn's transition. And that was from the earlier on stages when she was 9 years of age and all the way up to when she became a teenager. I constantly had those interactions with her mom just to make sure that neither one of us lost sight about what was taking place relative to our child. And I shared some of those things with Autumn. I would tell her that I just spoke to your mom. And a lot of times it wasn't necessarily about Autumn so much per se, but just kind of building that rapport and that relationship. I wouldn't even sometimes even talk about Autumn, but I would talk about with her mom about the other siblings that are in her household and what was going on with them and their relationship, especially to God and church. I mean, I spent many days on the phone praying with her mom. Because I just knew that was important. And then I always did extended that invitation for her to, you know, participate in the process. you know, I, and that was more so me asking, what do you think about this? What do you feel about that? How should we handle this? Or Autumn needs this. I wouldn't allow that separation, that space to develop. I wouldn't allow that absent feeling, even though there was some distance. I just thought that, you know, there's some creative ways that you can keep that co-parenting relationship moving forward or being healthy.
The first thing I heard you say, James, was Autumn was your priority. And I love that, because I think it's so vital that parents realize that regardless of where they are in their relationship with each other or where they are with their parenting experience, if they keep the reality that the child is the priority, they cannot go wrong. If everything they do and who they are and what they say is for the child's best interest, then they cannot go wrong. Excellent. Excellent, excellent, mm-hmm. excellent. I love that. Autumn, did you feel like you
yes.
were the property of your parents?
Most definitely.
What communicated
my dad,
that?
Well, I mean, my dad, he's very vocal about what his job is, or like what his main goal is to do. So he always expressed, you know, he was my number one fan, or just stuff like that, just motivation. And, you know, he was just there to be supportive a lot. He didn't make it seem like, you know, it was more to it or anything else. He just focused on what did I need to do, what I wanted to do, you know, how that needed to get done or whatever. He was just there.
That's excellent. So you knew that. You knew that within your being. And so how did that
yeah.
impact your behavior? How did it impact who you became as this young woman you presently are today?
I've really always been the same, you know. I just always had the same focus and one goal, and that was to accomplish graduating or being successful in school and doing what I got to do. So, I mean, he just really nurtured it and just let me do what I had to do. Like, he didn't really try to change me or, like, anything. He just let me, you know, grow up and, you know, view stuff my own way or whatever.
Excellent, excellent. It sounds like you felt secure because you knew your dad was in your corner and he was your biggest cheerleader. You felt secure to become the woman that you're becoming today.
Yes.
Awesome. Man, it sounds like you did some good stuff there and fathering this young lady, huh?
Well, I want to include this because Paris asked a question too. Some of the mechanics and some of the mechanics too with him being on the phone. You know how Juwanza Koopy said it takes a village to raise a child or to raise
Absolutely.
Our children.
Absolutely.
Well, if you think about it, there's been a huge hedge of protection around Autumn from the church to my colleagues at work, to my family and my relationships here. My nieces has been really instrumental in terms of providing what I couldn't provide because I didn't have that in my household. And Autumn brought up a good point that there was a transition from having this huge family around her and then having just me and her around each other, a smaller size family. So my niece, who lives in Columbus in Augusta, they got huge families, and they got kids constantly. So there was opportunity for me to take Autumn down there so she can spend time, be around family, and be around family she trusted and she knew. When she went to Erie, it was kind of the same thing. There was people that knew Autumn's situation, what her experience, what her goals were. So they nurtured all that. Paris on the phone, he didn't mention who he is. He's Dr. Paris Baker. His background is in social work. His background is in being a pastor. He's the pastor of Believers International Church, and then he's also been involved in fatherhood. So all those components were a part of, and this is where I look at how God just put things in place, because all those things were a part of helping her to be who she is and to nurture her and to let her know that wherever she went, there was somebody there. Like even making this transition now to go to Howard, there's family up there. there's friends up there. There's friends in my college, who's the children who went to that school. So it's going to be a continuation. And this is for the people who are our radio, our listeners on the show tonight. If you feel overwhelmed or feel isolated or feel that, you know, you're having some difficulties doing this yourself, then incorporate other people. Other people who have the same kind of mindset or goals or same kind of appreciation for what you're trying to do in raising your children, because it's really important. A lot of times, if I didn't have it, I knew somebody else had it, and I knew somebody else that would appreciate Autumn, who she was, based on who I am. So that relationship just continued in other relationships. So I'm just grateful that I had the resources around me, including yourself, Dr. Navishi. I mean, you was a huge resource. I mean, the conversations we had over the years. So all that kind of just played into some of the co-parenting, some of the mechanics I had, some of the ways that I felt confident in terms of, you know, raising a child.
Excellent. Sounds like you did a good job, James, at reaching out. A lot of times when we're in situations that can be tenuous, we don't know how to ask for help. And it sounds to me, James, because of who you are, Autumn said it well at the onset, that you're a talker and you process things and you do a good job at reaching out to your community to get the support you need. So because of who you are and how you do what you do, you were able to, although you're a single dad, you are a dad who is single, raising a child with a solid support network. And it sounds like that made all the difference.
Yeah, I had a cousin who owns a beauty salon. And Kelly and Sherry are family oriented. They have children, they have daughters that are Autumn's age or in between Autumn's age or older. But their salon was women that was coming in there who were grounded, very grounded, who were focused on education, who was focused on finance, who was focused on spirituality and have a relationship with God. And they would constantly have those discussions. So for me to take her to get her hair done every Friday, it was a learning experience. It was like education. All I had to do was just sit there and be a fly on the wall. And I would come out of there with so much information, it was unbelievable. You know, so I knew the direction that I needed to go to, because there's women there who are willing to share, who is willing to embrace, who is willing to just impart information. So it was just a wonderful experience for me each Friday that we went to. And I paid $30, but the $30 was nothing compared to what I ended up with.
Awesome. Awesome. Mm-hmm. You tapped into your resources.
Mm-hmm.
Inyanui, question or comment
yes.
for Autumn? Okay.
Well, Autumn, I'm glad to hear all the comments that I'm hearing from you and all of the successes that you're having. And I almost feel like I've, you know, met you before because of the previous shows and James always, you know, mentioning you or talking about you. So I don't know. It's just I don't have any particular thing that I want to ask right now. Maybe something will come up later. But I'm just really – really glad to hear that you are growing, and looks like you know, your life is going to be a successful one, and hoping that at Howard that, you know, you be successful as well. So I hope to have something else to say to you before the show is over.
Awesome, right. Thanks, thank you.
Can y'all hear me?
We hear you loud and clear, brother.
Oh, okay. Yes, I've been hearing everything, and it sounds wonderful. We have these new phones, and I just barely touch things, and it just goes crazy. But it just what the main thing that I'm getting is that raising children is deliberate, and you have to have a plan, a goal, and in order to get the kind of results that you want. Because for so many people that don't put this deliberate time and energy into raising children and treat children like almost like growing a garden. But even growing a garden, you have to nurture the garden. Mm-hmm. And with people, you have to do a lot more. And it sounds like Autumn was involved with a lot of people around her wherever she went, and or wherever you went, because I know she's still there, so I can, you know, talk to you. And that's very good, because so many people don't have this type of experience. I mean, they're just allowed to grow up and not ask, what do you think, how do you feel? And those things are important when, you know, when you're growing and developing and just being a human being, to know that someone is putting this type of energy into you. Because you hear so many, I've probably heard it a million times, so many different places where you hear parents say, I don't have time to do X, Y, Z. And really, they need to find and make that time, because children deserve this type of time. And if they're going to be here on the planet, they should have that interest, you know, from the parents to put into them to help them develop, because it does make a difference. And as we can see, like Inyana, we were saying, we felt like we've been around Autumn because we've been hearing about it for years. And so this is what you get, you know, as the end result, you get a productive person ready to start out a new life. As an adult, excellent. A young adult.
So we've been talking about the backstory, Autumn and James, where you were, how you got to where you are. What is the present and future looking like? Autumn, you are getting ready to leave the nest. And James, you're getting ready to have an empty nest after 11 years of togetherness. How are you both preparing for this transition?
Do you want to answer first?
No, go ahead, Autumn. You can answer first. It's okay.
How am I preparing? We just talk a lot. You know, he gives me a lot of pointers about college and how, you know, I do need to stay focused. At the same time, I'm still trying to find myself, or will try to find myself in college.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really just a lot of discussion about, you know, what I need to do. Or he just likes to make contact with people that could possibly help me on my journey and my transition. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's just a lot of dialogue about what I need to do and who can help me possibly be successful in my transition.
Excellent. What kind of feelings are you having at this point, Autumn?
I'm excited. I'm going to miss my dad, you know, because, you know, we're always around each other 24/7 and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm excited and ready to, you know, be out on my own and see where life takes me and stuff.
Yeah. Ready or not, here it comes. Good that you're excited. Fantastic. James, where are you?
I'm excited for her. I'm very excited for her. And I'm excited for myself because, as Madhu has said, it takes a lot of energy to reassure that your child at least has the opportunity. It doesn't guarantee anything, but at least it has the opportunity has been presented. So I'm looking forward to shifting myself and doing some things I need to do for me and focus on some areas that I maybe put on the back burner, not totally forgot about, and I bring forth and kind of nurture. There's been some transition in terms of just personal relationships, you know, opposite sex. So, and that's been a challenge in terms of, you know, trying to incorporate that in terms of me and Autumn's relationship. So maybe, you know, I might look at that area of my life that I haven't really focused on heavily. that part, maybe take some trips I haven't done, I put off. So I'm just kind of too, I'm going to miss her a whole lot. I'm going to miss her a whole lot, you know, because I want to learn too that a lot of times I know we think that we're teaching our children all this stuff and imparting all this stuff, that they're teaching us as well. And
absolutely.
Autumn has helped me to be a better person, to be a better man, and to be a better father. She has helped me in so many different ways because of her personality, because of her goals, because of her commitment to herself. She has helped me to know how to look at life a little differently from a different perspective. And so I'm going to have some foundation to continue to do some things I need to do. And then there's another side of me, because the culture that we're living in now, the environments that has been created through the administration is scary. So I'm scared for her. Just need to be honest. I'm a little scared. I'm not scared about what Autumn would do and not do. I'm not scared in that regard because I trust her. But what I'm scared about is the things that are around her, the things that are out there. The police state that we're living in, it's just frightening. The regard that people have for women in general, especially Black women or just the people of color, is frightening. So in that sense, and that's why we have so much discussion. We talk about the college lifestyle, the college environment, about D.C.'s environment, my prediction, because I am a little bit fearful. And I just, from a school standpoint, I don't want the lines of communication to be broken. Because if that happens, then I can't reach out and provide her with maybe the hedge, the protection, or the resources, or you know, the dialogue that can maybe help her to navigate through those situations.
Okay.
Yes.
Awesome. Did you have another comment? I know the doctor's on the line. Did you have another comment you wanted to make to Autumn and or James?
Paris?
Okay, so as you prepare, Autumn, to leave.
Wait a minute, I'm here. Excuse me, it just took me a long time to get off mute. So I apologize.
No problem.
I'm driving around the peninsula listening. It's a wonderful show.
Awesome.
I have a question
awesome.
For Autumn.
We're glad you're here. Go ahead, ask your question of Autumn.
Many times when we have shows like this, we spend a lot of time talking to the father and what the father has imparted to their children. In your case, James, and to you as a daughter. I'm really interested in what you can impart to fathers who are listening. What do we need to know from you, from your perspective, to be better fathers?
Good question.
You stole my question, but that's all right. I'm letting you have that one.
Pardon me?
I said you stole my question, but I'm going to let you have that one. I appreciate you bringing that to the forefront.
Okay.
Go ahead, Autumn.
It's really just being supportive and being open and being able to sit down and talk with your child about whatever you may be feeling and not just, like, taking it upon yourself to, you know, say this is what she needs to do or this is what your child needs to do. It has to be two ways, you know, and, like, what me and my father do a lot, we talk and we discuss, and, you know, he often asks me how I feel about certain things or what's my viewpoint or, you know, we sit there and we talk and, you know, we get a little giggle out of it every now and then. But that's really just the main thing that kept our relationship together. He wasn't so much like, oh, you can't do this or you can't do that. He was more so, well, why do you feel you need to do that? Or, well, you know, what made you think you need to do that? And then we discussed it, and he said what he had to say, and I said what I had to say, and then we came to a conclusion. That's really just the strong point in our relationship that would help other people in parenting.
Okay. Excellent. Solid advice, Autumn. The flip side of that, what would you recommend fathers not do? You told about what they should do. What would you recommend fathers not do?
Fathers not to do. That's a hard one. Not to do.
It's not a trick question.
About what
you can take a look about it.
Well, I have a question while she's thinking about it.
Okay, Madhu.
Okay. This is for James. James, I know for myself and most people that I know, we've gone through these periods when we were, say, in junior high school where you're really rebellious. How did you deal with the rebellious period? Did you all go through that? Because
Madhu,
I worked at a, yeah.
Madhu, you're assuming that Autumn had a rebellious period. Now, you're making an assumption right there.
I worked at a school once. And let me tell you, at different levels, all the way from the preschool to the senior high. And one thing I noticed, that middle school area, period, it was out of control. I mean, that's where that was the transition for the young folks. And I'm just wondering, how did that period go? Because I know I had that when I was growing up also.
Well, to be honest, that's a continuation, whether it's from she's birth to now. Because as Autumn described, I'm trying to find who I am. So that rebellious part is not necessarily all about me or rebelling towards me. It's really trying to figure out themselves. So I didn't take a lot of it personal. I looked at it and say, okay, she's trying to learn some things about herself. And some of that stuff might appear that she's rebelling towards me or being indifferent towards me or being just whatever. I looked at it as a part of her growth. And then what helped me too, once again, was that my support. I'm constantly having conversations and dialogue. I have a friend named Dr. Sparks, and she sent me a video one time on just brain development of a child during that period of time that you mentioned and what happens. And that just opened up my mind to say, okay, this is potentially what can be taking place. So it gave me a different angle to maybe how to, and I'm just the bringing all the message all the way home. You have to be really creative and you have to be open and you have to be acceptable, not only to your child, but to yourself. And then the one scripture that I continue to follow it, and that just sound religious, but it just speaks to my every part of my being, is the prodigal son. I think about the father and what he decided to do in terms of allowing his son to go have those experiences. He decided that whatever was going to take place, that he knew that his son was going to come back to him because of what he put in him. So I trust that. I trust that wholeheartedly. And there's been times where Autumn has had some experiences, but she came to me. She came to me either directly or indirectly. She came. So that outweighs all the indifference or the rebellion or some of the challenges that we have even communicating with each other. It just outweighs that. So a lot of times I don't get turned around. And then Navishi County, Dr. Navishi always spoke to it too, is that God is blessing with this ability to be able to reach out and network. Don't leave myself to my own devices, my own thinking, because a lot of times I can injure myself or the person that I'm trying to communicate or have this relationship with. And she had those moments. Autumn had those moments, and she's having those moments now. Like she said, I'm 18. I'm 18, getting ready to go off to college, and I'm ready to go off to college. Yes, I'm going to miss my father, but I'm ready to do my thing. So to start that process to happen, she has to start doing some things that's different from what I would do. And I have to say, okay, that she's an individual. She's a human being. She's not James.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she's doing a whole bunch of stuff that's different from me, but she needs to do that. She needs to do that. And I need to figure out for myself. And here's the question that Dr. Nadishi asked me: what are you going to do when that transition happens and your house is empty? Well, that's when I need to start growing. That's when I need to start looking at how to grow and how to be accept the fact that now my relationship is changing with my daughter. You know, I got this educated person. I got this person who's in college. I got this career person. I got this person who got a job. I got a person who's got their own savings now. I got a person who got their own checking account, their own credit card. I got a person who can maybe, you know, defend for themselves in their own way. They don't need to call me as much. So all those things, I don't see that as, and no offense, Madhu, I get where your point is. I don't see that as rebellion more so. I see that as an opportunity for both of us just to grow, and I see this as an opportunity for her to grow and become. And that's an opportunity for all children. One time we was having a discussion in my father's group, and one of the guys brought up a conversation about discipline and punishment. And I said, what is the punishment about? Because the child went in the kitchen when he was four and reached for some cookies, and he knocked down the cookie jar. And I immediately said to him, what was he reaching for? Something he wanted. Why would you punish him? Our goal in that situation was to teach how to reach without endangering himself or others. So taking back to the cookie jar and teaching him how to reach for it where it can be successful. And he didn't get it at first because he was caught up into I'm the father, you know. And I'm saying, well, okay, well, be the father then. Be the father. And this is for our listening audience. If you're really trying to be a father, then that means letting go. If you're really trying to be the father, then that means opening yourself up and making yourself available, being transparent. You know, I know I make mistakes. I let know I'm indifferent at times and rebellious. You know, and we need to do that with our children. A lot of times our parents are so caught up in being parents and being adults, being responsible, that we forget that we're human beings, and then our kids can't see how to role model that. You know, a healthy person who's making mistakes and working through those mistakes and getting on the other side. So to answer your question, Madhu, I just had a lot of support. I had a lot of insight and wisdom from folks who raised a child, and especially a teenage daughter. And I had the insight of my relationship to God, and it just guided me through those things. So.
That triggered something in my mind, listening to what you're saying. I think a lot of parents miss a lot of what you just said about the discipline and teaching children. Mm-hmm. And it made me think, when does a person stop being a parent?
Never.
Well, the reason I ask that is because some parents don't cut the ties when children grow and still treat the children as if they don't make their own decisions. And that's what I meant by that. When does a parent get to the point, you know, where they stop making their what used to be their child, you know, as a young person, making their decisions? Because some parents never stop that process.
Yeah, that's more so about them than actually the child. Because how the scripture said, honor our father and our mother, so our days might be well upon this earth or long upon this earth. So if the parent cuts the ties, it's the responsibility of the child to continue to honor and respect that relationship. And if the parent doesn't know that, then they're going to get caught up with trying to still be a parent. But if they imparted that into the child, then the child's going to grow up and say, let me honor my parent. Let me honor and respect my father and mother. Let me continue to have that conversation and dialogue with them. You know what I mean? A lot of times it's just the opposite, and that's because you haven't done really, and no offense to our listening audience, you haven't really done your job. You should look forward to the day that the ties are being cut and that the relationship is taking on a different meaning. Autumn has to decide how she's going to engage her parents. Children have to decide how they're going to engage her parents. And the scripture speaks to that really clearly, that when you say honor thy mother and honor thy father and thy mother, may our days be longer upon the earth, that's speaking to the child, not the father and the mother. That's speaking to the child. There's something the child needs to do to continue on engaging in the relationship. I'm at a place where I'm healthy enough that at some point, if Autumn decided she don't never want to talk for 9,000 years, you know, then that's what she decides. You know, then she has to deal with her own stuff around all that. You know, it doesn't mean that I've done anything less or anything more. It just means that's just what it is. My father, before he passed, two years ago, he would call constantly just to say hi. He would call me and just to say hi. But I reciprocated that and made sure I called him just to say hi. Because I respect, had reverence for my father, I had love for him and compassion for my father. So children say, well, my dad didn't do this, or my mom didn't do this, or my, you know, mentor didn't do this, or whoever the person who's that father figure or that parent in their lives, the child has to get to the point, no matter what that parent does or don't do, and you don't have to be like them. You need to honor them. You need to show respect to them and make sure that you engage that relationship. And the parents got to know that your children, you got to cut ties. Only way you're going to really show that you really show love and compassion for your child is to cut ties and let them find their way.
Well stated, James. Well stated. Well, we're at the top of 5 minutes left of the show, and Autumn, I want to come back to you to make sure I give you the opportunity to make that comment that you've been thinking about or share anything else that you'd like to share with our listening audience. You've been such a wonderful, wonderful guest on our show. So the question that you were constantly was, what you would communicate that fathers not do?
Never let your child feel like they're alone and like they're growing up alone. I know, like, some, like, with experiences with my friends' parents, they often feel like they can't communicate with their parents. And they often feel like they can't tell them things or say things to them because, you know, I guess their parents have a point of view where they feel like they're in control and that their child's mind doesn't matter, how they feel or how they think doesn't matter. And I just feel like that parents themselves should just be willing to listen to what their child has to say. So never let your child feel as though, you know, they don't have a mind or they don't have a say in decisions, and that it's okay to talk to them and communicate with them.
Excellent. Solid advice, Autumn. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We're getting ready. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I agree with that because it's very valuable to have a parent that you can communicate with. And all young people don't have that. And when you have that, it's invaluable because, I mean, it can help you throughout your life.
Yep.
Today we've been talking about fatherhood, and we're honoring fathers. Specifically, we've been talking about Autumn and James Tomlin. We've been honoring James for his 11 continuous years of parenting Autumn as a single dad. And specifically, we're celebrating you, Autumn, in your accomplishment as a young lady getting ready to go off to college and embark upon this new life experience. We're super excited with you to actually hear more about all the wonderful things that you'll be embarking upon. And we commend you and your dad for the amazing exemplary relationship that you've had together and the wonderful way that you've nurtured your love for one another as father and daughter. So with about 2 minutes before the end of our show, we'd like to open up to James and Autumn to give your final words of wisdom to our listening audience, and then for whomever else is on the show, anything you'd like to share as we end the segment of our fatherhood celebration. Wish everyone a happy Father's Day on tomorrow. So Autumn, James, you can go first with any words of wisdom that you'd like to share, and then anyone else.
Well, I'd just like to thank our listeners for being on the show tonight and thank our co-host and our guests. I definitely want to thank my daughter for her willingness to even participate on the show. And I want to wish all the fathers out there on the show that's listening, happy Father's Day. Just know that your job, your role is important. It's very important. And find places that you can feel supported in your role, either through church or nonprofit organizations or other places where fathers gather, whether it's a baseball game, basketball game, whether it's a beauty salon or a barbershop. Continue to find places where you can feel supported and encouraged to you being a part of your children's lives, because that's just so important and so valuable to the overall. So thanks for being a good listener tonight.
Awesome. Autumn?
I would just like to say thank you for having me on the show. And I'd like to thank my parents for allowing me to have such an experience and a relationship with my dad. I know not many are able to. And just for all the parents out there, you know, just be open-minded to your child, you know, have discussions and, you know, talk with them and see how they feel about things. And that'll be the key to most of y'all guys' relationship.
All right now.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Solid advice, Autumn and James. Thank you. Madhu and Yanoi or Doc, any final words?
I wanted to say this has been a very wonderful show, and I'm glad I got a chance to hear Autumn speak. And like I said, I felt like I have already been knowing her, and I wish you a lot of success in as you go off to college, and I feel like you will be successful. And I can also see the love that your father has for you and that you have for him. So that's very, very, to me, that is so strong to have when you have that. And I just wish you all the success and that you do very well in your subjects and know where to go when you have a problem that creeps up. So you know where to go. That's to your father.
Thank you.
Yes, I feel the same way. And I think that there's a bright and shining future ahead. And I think the environment around Howard is improving, and it's a lot more positive than what it used to be. And I think that it's only getting better by the day. And I think you have a bright and shining future ahead of you, Autumn. And I think you're in good hands.
Thank you.
Well, we thank you so much for being with us today on this segment of the Dr. Navisi's Caribbean Radio Show. And we look forward to you joining us again next month on our third Saturday for another edition of our show. Autumn, James, and everyone else, thank you so much and blessings upon you. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to all the little brothers out there.
Happy Father's Day.
All right. See y'all, guys.
Bye-bye.
Fine.